Glad to be here. Thank you.
All right. The next item on the agenda is a report from the foundation, Jim Moore. Jim, welcome again. It's good to have you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and it's certainly an honor to be here to give this annual report and a brief summary of our foundation and development program. So I will apologize. We have a lot of slides. Some of these slides will be familiar to you. Some of the data on the slides will be familiar to you, and they'll all be available. So I'll do my best as to not get in trouble with Didi to click through them pretty efficiently. I'm going to start by really kind of talking about what we've been up to this first quarter of this current fiscal year. So this is July through the end of September. And as you look at this slide, what this represents is really a snapshot of some of the horizon issues and priorities that we're working on. But the bullet in the middle is really the one that we try to drive our team to think about daily, and that's how can we increase fundraising results and drive private support so that we can do our good work to help advance the University of Illinois. We also, throughout the course of the year, have been spending some time already working with our board, which is very important to us. Our governance board is significant to us, as this board is to the Board of Trustees and the University. We rely on them and work with them to make sure that we are organized and structured in a way that will allow us to really support the priorities of the University of Illinois. Another key bullet up here is really planning for the next campaign. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I've got a slide or two in here about that work that we're doing. And of course, as I said, our board is significant, and we work hard every year to recruit new members, and I'll introduce a few of them in just a minute. This past year, we started the fall semester off with our 81st annual meeting of our foundation members. It was a great opportunity to gather in Champaign-Urbana. We actually had several events that take place during that weekend. So it's the annual meeting of the foundation members. We have 940 foundation members. Approximately 148 of those members came back to Urbana to celebrate the weekend. Others exercised their vote privilege through a poll to elect our current slate of directors. So that was a great event on campus. We also had a board meeting, which we had record attendance at as well. And then the Urbana University had a celebration of philanthropy during that weekend, which was well attended and gave us an opportunity to thank our donors. On this slide, the one thing I'll point out is at this meeting in the last couple of years, we tried to adopt a theme, a way in which we could talk about the impact of philanthropy on the University of Illinois. And last year, we talked about leadership. We actually put our president on a panel and asked him to interview our chancellors, and we got to hear from each of our university leaders. Well, we stuck with that theme this year, but we threw him a curveball. We asked each of the universities to invite a student leader to serve on that panel, and the president actually interviewed a student panel, which provided some perspective on leadership from the students' eyes, and we had great audience participation. And then during that annual meeting weekend, we also celebrated the impact of our faculty at the university and how philanthropy has been involved in helping them do their work. This is just a quick introduction of our new directors. We actually invited a large class, invited a large class of directors to join the board this year. That was due to a hiatus that was taken during the transition of leadership. But I want to point out here that this is a group that is really diverse geographically. We have invited folks to serve on the board from all over the country, and John Giuliani, the one on my far left here, John lives in Las Vegas. We've got Stu Levnick, who I know some of you know in the room, from Peoria. We needed some outstate presence, which we hadn't had on the board in a while, among our governance group. Gene Manning from Washington, D.C., Dick Osborne, who lives here in Chicago but also has a home in Phoenix, and Paul Tucker, who's most recently relocated back to Urbana. We're working really hard to build the board so that it represents all of our university partners, and look forward to, again, some participation from this group in helping to provide some nominations. I also want to thank this board for its participation in our meetings. Trustee McMillan is a member of our board. He was unable to attend the last meeting, but Trustee Hacera did attend and participate, and we thank her for that. So just, again, to spend a little bit more time on things that probably matter most to all of us, and that is how do we raise more money and why do donors invest? And this slide really kind of talks about the the way a campaign is designed in order to help us do that. Okay, I thought it was great to hear Chancellor Emeritus describe how his four strategic pillars align with the strategic framework. When we build the campaign, and really campaigns, we start with that strategic framework. It's great that this board has done so much work to really define what those strategic pillars are for the system, and we're working with all of our chancellors and our deans to identify strategic priorities that align with that plan. It's important that our donors understand when they make gifts to the University of Illinois, they are supporting those things that are most important to the growth and enhancement of the institution. You know, I often say fundraising is a way to help provide those margin of excellence dollars. It's not a way to solve a budget crisis, but we know now more than ever private money is going to be extremely important, and the campaigns are going to be designed to really talk about impact and opportunity. One of the other things, this pyramid off to the left is really a way to try to show how the thing will be designed. Each of the universities are establishing their own key priorities, and that's important because as you think about your own behavior as a donor, why do you invest in the university and where do you invest? You invest in things that are important to you, areas and programs that you're passionate about. So we also know that there's a strategic purpose in investing in the system of the university as well. But we want to make sure that when we talk to donors and establish those priorities, they really are rooted in the priorities that the chancellors establish at their respective universities and then roll up. So we are going to have a comprehensive campaign, but it's going to be designed a little differently so that each of the universities can really amplify their core strengths and opportunities for investment. So that's a bit about the campaign. Just this current year, we're, as I said, in the first quarter, I always tell our development officers, don't get too excited or too panicked about Q1 numbers. A lot of movement occurs throughout the course of the year. We have started the year with $50 million in new business, $63 million in cash, with a pretty good strong pipeline as we prepare for the upcoming campaign. The one thing I want to point out here is you see these numbers, and you've seen these numbers before, but I always like to remind you, when you see cash and then you see new business and you think, well, shouldn't new business include all cash? The cash totals that we show you in these reports reflect payments on pledges that came in previous years. And the new business only reflects gifts and commitments in this current fiscal year. So just for clarification as you see the data. So as you see over the course of this current year, year over year, year to date, we're trailing in dollars. Gifts from donors is pretty flat. We're down about 1,000. Some of that might be related to our annual fund program, which can float around by 500 commitments over the period of a week, depending on how the call center is operating. Again, big gifts can drive these numbers, so one or two big gifts could cause us to be up or down in any given month. But we feel confident we've got a pipeline prepared to be able to help close that gap and actually increase these numbers. You can see dollars raised, again, another example of a couple of big checks come in at the beginning of the year. You're going to see an increase in the number of dollars compared to the year before, depending on how those pledge payments come in. And then on the donor side, in terms of cash, you'll see we're pretty flat. There we go. So a few comments, I guess, about last fiscal year. Last year was a challenging year in a lot of ways. A lot of things occurred that we think could have had an impact on giving. Some of it was our own doing. We went through a data conversion, a system conversion, and that caused us to be down a little bit. So our outreach to some of our alumni was not as efficient as it had been the years prior, so that's why we saw a dip in donors. But I do want to point out, each of our three universities has been really doing a great job of engaging donors in ways that they can make gifts that truly are transformational and impactful at the University of Illinois. And in the middle, you'll see under the UIC logo, we are celebrating the College of Pharmacy. And this is because last fiscal year, the Retzke family, Herbert M. and Carol H. Retzke, provided $5 million to establish the deanship, and a named deanship in the College of Pharmacy. And it's UIC's first named deanship, and I believe it's only the third in the system. So it was a tremendous gift. It's going to make a big difference in the leadership agenda at the College of Pharmacy. To the left, you see the rendering for the Siebel Design Center, which we've been able to celebrate more publicly as of late, but it was a gift, another major gift provided by Urbana alumnus Tom Siebel, and that project will be breaking ground hopefully soon. It's another transformational asset for the university. And then to the right, our Springfield rendering of our Springfield Student Union, and as Chancellor Cook says, it's not a new student union, it's the first student union, and we're excited to see that come out of the ground. And of note, one of our new trustees, or our new directors, Dick Osborne, is a major donor to that facility. So just a couple of highlights again for the year. We had over 100,000 alumni and friends contribute during the fiscal 16 year. It was another $250+ million year in terms of total support. And our fourth consecutive year of cash going above $220 million. And I think in a previous board meeting, Vice President Knorr shared some of these data points. So I'm going to click through some of the slides related to some of this pretty quickly because we'll provide it to you. And again, some of it won't be new. So last year, again, this is the one that this slide is the one that's most concerning to me and to President Killeen. As you look at new business last year, we were down in fiscal 16, and we were down in cash in fiscal 16. And again, while it's hard to correlate exactly why the dip occurred, I do think that some of the climate that we're dealing with was related to certain donor behavior. We did have conversations with donors that said they were concerned about wanting to see where the university was going. We continued to tell them the university is going nowhere but forward, and I think there's a lot of enthusiasm gaining around where we are today, and look forward to seeing these numbers move in the other direction and start to go up. So just again, though, in terms of context, last year, while it was a down year, relatively speaking, you can see it's still a pretty positive year related to overall performance. Where some of the gifts came from, a source of new business, this is just to, again, illustrate where we receive private support, and our alumni and friends, as you can see, provide collectively a significant percentage, but it's equally balanced out by our corporations and foundations, roughly $121.8 million from alumni and friends and $129.8 million from corporations and foundations. Cash flow, similar kind of illustration, obviously dipped a bit, but as I said, we had a couple of big payments on some pledges last year that just like this year, which you should see a bit of a rebound in that number. Same sources, again, of where the money comes from. This is a slide to just show how the money is that we receive from our donors is really allocated. And I want to point out here, I think it's important to note that 98% of all of the gifts we receive are designated by our donor community. So when you have conversations with people about where can private support fit in the discussion about budgeting and finance and funding, you can't fundraise your way out of a budget crisis. I mean, I say that, and it sounds like I'm making excuses, but it's a reality. Our donors tell us what to do with the money, and you can see the kinds of things they've been supportive of. And actually, this unrestricted number down here is really restricted to a college or a unit. And we did see some of our donors respond to our deans who have been talking more about needing some discretionary dollars to do their business, and we saw a little bit of an uptick there. Okay, again, in terms of types of gifts, this is probably my last slide before I get the hook here. But the point I want to illustrate here is when you also think about the kinds of gifts we receive and the money that does flow in, you can see that 75% of the private dollars we receive are current dollars. It's current use money that comes in and goes out. Okay, it's not that I want to say that we're hand to mouth, but a lot of the money that we receive does go right to work immediately to support students, to support faculty, to support key initiatives that our chancellors and deans have identified as immediate priorities. And then we have about 22% of our gifts that support endowment. One of the things I'd like to have us rally around as we think about this next campaign is growing that endowment number. We need to increase our buying power and the permanent sources of funding that we have to have in order to recruit the best talent that we have been recruiting historically here at the University of Illinois and need to continue to recruit. So that's a brief, quick shotgun summary of what we've been up to. Again, I want to thank all of you. I know all of you contribute in so many ways to the university, and we do appreciate what you give with your time and talent and treasures. And we are working hard to expand our base because we need more people around the table to help us do this good work. So.
Thank you, Jim. Any questions for Jim? Yes, Jill?
I just have two quick questions. So how's the new system working? And how does the amount that we get compare, you know, to our peers?
Yeah, good question. So the new system is called, it's our tracking and engagement database. And we call it TED, but we're still sort of on a formal name basis with it. We're still calling it Theodore because it's not really where we want it to be. But it's getting better, and these are the kinds of systems that are going to take years to populate. It has great capacity, and our donors, our development team will have the opportunity to do a whole lot more with it. But it's working, and we're building it out and starting to employ analytics techniques out of it. In terms of where we are relative to our peer group, the University of Illinois is part of a group called the CASE 50. The CASE is our professional association, and it's the top 50 productivity fundraising programs in the country, and it's about 25 privates and 25 publics. And when you think about the annual gift support, so that $286 million, we rank pretty high compared to our peers. You know, a place like UCLA will be in the $400, $450 million range, but they have multiple hospitals and other affiliated entities that account for that number. You know, Michigan's number will be in that $300 million, as you well know. So for a system of our type, we are one of the top producing public universities in the country in terms of gift revenue. Where we drag and lag is on the endowment side, and that was the point I was making about where we really need to make some headway in the next campaign.
Okay. Any other questions for Jim? I'd just like to say, Jim, I really appreciate your leadership. You're being on board just about a year now. I hear great things from the folks who've been involved with the foundation, the kinds of things you're doing to further train your board to be more supportive and be more involved. The foundation efforts are so critical to the university, President Killeen. And we want to do everything we can to help you move forward in that because it's a critical part of our strategy. Anything you want to add to that?
Well, I thank you very much for those kind comments. Jim Moore is doing an exemplary job on the foundation. Of course, our future is tied inextricably with private philanthropy, and the forthcoming campaign promises to be very exciting and an opportunity for us to really lay out the value proposition of the University of Illinois to all of its many stakeholders. And so this is a partnership that is longstanding and very important into the future. Thank you for your comments.
Thank you both for your comments. It's an honor to be here to serve all of you.
Thanks for being here, Jim.